Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017. I can't believe we're on Relationship Wednesday, and it took me until today to remember something I said on the Nadia Khalil Morning Show page on Facebook that I wanted to talk about. We were talking about coming up with a name and all the suggestions and all of the talk about it really made me realize how hard it is just to define love or talking about love or what kind of name do you give it without it sounding like we're either really one way or another, or just so many ways to look at it, because every time we called it something, we thought, oh, wait a minute, either somebody has that name or it means this and it doesn't really encompass everything. And I was at the gym and I just started going back after the surgery. It actually took a long time to be able to go back because I couldn't lift weight. So I go back and I walk into the gym. And there's a man there who trained my son named David Bernstein. And out of all the days, and four or five at one time. And so on that day, I was in the back and he just kind of followed me and walked with me to the back while I was stretching. And I said, you know, Dave, you know, you and I have been through a lot. When he was training my son, they found out he had leukemia. And when I found that out, I like immediately went into this mode of I had to help this man. I only knew because when I was married, Sterling had leukemia. And so I knew what was going to happen to them, and I didn't want what happened to me to them, because then at that point I was financially drained down to the last penny. Literally, I was in the negative. I had six kids and leukemia and me. And there we were. And I knew that his money came in from training, and I immediately, like within 3 days of finding out, I set up a fundraiser for the family email list, and we sent out this blast, and me and a couple of other women in the gym, we got restaurants to donate food, we got a band to come and play for free and donate their time, and all of this happened within 3 days, and everybody in town showed up. I mean, I'm telling you, there were hundreds of people there, and everybody left money. And all I did is I took the money they gave us and gave the box to his mom and his sister, because at this point he was already in the hospital, and it wasn't good. But I didn't want his family to suffer in this time on top of suffering over the illness. So that's the history Dave and I shared. And so as we were talking, I said, what would you call me? Just off the top of your head. Don't think about it. Just what would you call me? And he paused for a second and he said, I'd call you the soul whisperer. And that's where the soul was. You know what? That's kind of what I do. I show up. I'm not hard and fast. I don't make people think something or believe something. I have no reason to do that. But I know that whatever it is we talk about, it's going to show up in your life and you'll know what to do with it. That's the whole point of any of this. It's to not leave us without a clue as to why our lives are the way they are. It was always my question since way before I saw Christ was, you know, everybody else's questions. Why are we here? What are we doing? Why am I here? Why do I matter play in my life? All those things. And so that's where the name The Soul Whisperer came from. And it's kind of been the one that stuck the most because, one, it's not that big out there. All the other times there were whisperers, it had to do with dogs or horses, the dog whisperer, the horse whisperer. We had a movie like that. But we need one for people, too, and the soul. And so I'm sticking to that so far. It's sticking inside of me. So let me know what you guys think about that. And so far, I'm sitting in that camp right now. So that was something I said I was going to say. And yesterday, for some reason, I had a cold for the past 3 days, and I couldn't even remember that because I was trying to not sneeze. But I'm good to go now. So today is, I see Susan wrote Soul Whisperer. Yeah, Yeah, just let me know, you guys, because this is so cool. That's kind of where I'm living. So today's Relationship Wednesday. And this topic, I didn't think about us in general. And Christ says to me something that just totally answered one huge question in my life. I've always asked, what keeps people together the most in relationships? Is it love? Is it just the way they care? Is it the routine? What is it that keeps for years and years and years? Because it's definitely not the ones who expect too much from love, because those are the first relationships that fail, is when you walk in expecting too much from love, expecting love to change your life, expecting the person to change your life, expecting the person to do your work. Those relationships will not be able to sustain. Those are the fastest to go. That's why I say don't jump in too fast. Yeah, definitely when you have a feeling, follow your feelings. But know the difference between love and curiosity. Because if you can sustain conversations, if you can work together, you obviously are going to have a very good chance of staying together no matter how fast you jumped in or not. But it turned out it wasn't just about jumping in too fast. It was more about you as a person and what you bring to a relationship that the other person's energy exchange, because that exchange of energy is obviously the one thing that keeps relationships going. When you stop exchanging energy, there's nothing left there to do. And so you start to feel that feeling like, wow, you know, I kind of feel like I've done everything I needed to do here. And you don't even know why you're thinking it. You feel bad for thinking it. And all these other things start falling into place. So how do you include yourself in your own relationship? Because we all have relationships. And we spend each day together in some way, whether it's technologically, physically, with our meals, emotionally, we're tied in. And in that, how much of a part of your relationship do you actually feel? What do you feel you bring? Do you speak? You know, when what's in your mind and in your heart, do you feel that if you do not do what the other person wants, that you're not a good partner? You both have a way of communicating that you both understand, not just like, well, my thinking is, and then you're having an argument about the semantics of having the argument. But what keeps us going together and what keeps us close when we're apart? That was the question. And it's such a subtle thing to talk about. It's not like, you know, well, he did this or she did that, and what do you do when? This is just, what do you bring? Because as time goes on in our lives, we realize we're the same person everywhere we go, whether it's in a relationship or not. If you could think of life that way, you will actually have a more well-rounded relationship, because now you can see this person objectively as opposed to a lifeline. Because if you see them as a lifeline, we all know where that goes, because one of the two is going to be drained and it's going to be the one who's expected to do it all. But what happens? So I asked Christ, of course, and lately I've been telling you guys this, and it's just been off the charts, his involvement in my days. And it's crazy, because I'll be walking, I'll be anywhere, and someone will just turn around and look like if they just saw something. So I don't know what's going on, but I know it's happening. And it's happening a lot. And it's kind of cool, because I had this kind of maybe more constant interaction when I was writing the books, and now it's happening as we're going along. So there was something he said, and he said, you know, what does your energy exchange? He said, some of us are first responders. Everything that happens, we want to fix it right away. Some of us need a certain level of control to feel like we're okay, we're stable. Like, okay, I did this today, I did that today, they did this, they did that, now I'm okay. To ad nauseum. We need to go through all the details. We need to repeat it a couple hundred times. We need to make sure we feel what we feel. We follow our feelings. Logic doesn't come in too heavily. Some of us just like routine, that every day we do the same things no matter what we do. We get up, we go to work, we come home, we have dinner. After that, we go for a walk. After that, we go, I don't know, we watch a show. And after that, we go to sleep. And every day is that. And then for fun, maybe on weekends, you go away. And that's the routine. So as I'm writing these down, I'm like, okay, I get that we all have different personalities, and that's usually what attracts us, is sometimes the likenesses in our personalities. When they say opposites attract, sometimes they do, but it's hard for opposites to stay because eventually they don't spend very much time together because their interests are different. So I get that. The one thing that keeps any relationship going in your life for any reason is when you respond to each other's needs. That is what keeps people together, period. Responding to each other's needs is so huge. Able to respond to each other's needs, you have to have all the ingredients in the pot. You need the love. You need the time. You need a little routine. You need a little control. You need a little time to talk things out. You need to have some sense of responding to this person. You need to share. Because when you make decisions together, whatever the decisions are, from buying what kind of milk to what kind of house you're living in, to where you're going to live, to all of that. When you make those decisions together, it bonds the relationship. And every time the relationship bonds, it grows in strength. And that strength that it grows in is infinite. What is happening to us evolving right now is that a lot of these things are so easy for us to think about. So much so that we are ready pinions to the world in one way or another, whether it's about politics, whether it's about our relationships, whether it's about our children. When our gas tank fills up, every time it fills up, it doesn't deplete that easily because the bonds we have between each other are so many that the trust grows, that the love starts seeing a different side of itself. There's something that was written in Origins of Truth that finally we can talk about in relationships, because that's usually the most tender spot, is relationships, whether they're work relationships, whether it's a love interest, whether it's romantic, whether you're been married for 30 years. And that's called the other side of love. Christ talks about it all the time, the other side of truth, the other side of innocence, that objective love. When you say love is love is love, it's not an easy thing to understand unless you really can get to the point where you understand love in your soul. And when you understand that kind of love, when you can understand that, you can look your relationship as objective. You can look at the other person as a person who is their whole person in their own right. And that the blessing is that you are sharing your time and your life with this person. You're not giving them your life. You're not giving them your time. You're not wasting your time. You're not waiting for them to get better. You just get it. You get that this person is a person. You get that they owe you nothing. You understand privilege to share time with another soul. You start to see how beautiful that feels to escape the traps that we've been taught to live in relationships. We've been taught to love on the way in and to roll our eyeballs Oh, yeah, well, that's just my boyfriend. Oh, that's my husband. Oh, you know how it is. Does it really have to be that way? We're taught more about how to leave a relationship than how to enter into one. We're taught more how to feel discontent than we are to feel harmonious between each other, to have that harmony. Even when you say that, people go, oh, yeah, well, who has that? I can name people. I know people I've worked with that have that. It's just so scary to rise above what we've been taught. And as time goes on, these generations that are coming in a different level of evolvement than we have going in, because they haven't technically been taught the way we've been taught. We have been taught through television, through movies, but the kinds of movies they watch are a little different, more action, more mystery, more horror, more detached from life. For the most part, they're not exposed to television, hardly at all. They binge watch, so they get no commercials. And they watch shows that really aren't connected to how people live every day. Compassion in most films. They're starting to talk about the things that we're talking about as though they've been there all the time, and it's beautiful to see. So their reality is not ours. Yet, for them and for us and for anybody else who's living today, the most important thing is response to each other's needs that keep together. Because when we respond, we are saying, hey, guess what? I know you're there. And I respect that. And you know what? If that bothers you, what are we going to do about it? I didn't even know it bothered you. Thank you for telling me, because I would not have guessed. It's not a guessing game. It is not that if someone loves you, they should know what you want. Do you know what other people want? Sometimes we think we do, and then we find out it's nothing at all like what we thought. Sometimes we worry about things that aren't really even there, but we put them there because we need to worry about something. And they're the only person we see, so we start using them to worry. Think about that. You know how many times I've run into that through my work? I'll be sitting with a couple, and you know what I call it? I call it the problem slot. When they solve one thing, it's like, oh my God, that slot's empty. And there's like this anxiety that they don't actually have a problem, so they create one. And I'd have to say, do you realize that you just put that in there all by yourself? And when they see it, it's amazing. Because that's the beginning of somebody seeing their own role in their own life. And I see Francis writes in the chat, it seems like responding to each other's needs is at the opposite end of the spectrum from expectations. Actually, that's a great way to put it. Actually, Francis, you need to post that today. Responding to each other's needs is the opposite end of the spectrum from expectations. That's exactly what he gave me one sentence. Respond to each other's needs. Bonding. And then Susan writes, how does objective love lead into using the language of love when we speak from an objective viewpoint? Okay, that's a great question too. What happens? You're just in your own mind. You're driving to work, or you're walking, or you're running, whatever you're doing. And I see Liam writing, but at responding to each other's needs, they'd be responding to their expectations of us and on us. All right, that's also a good viewpoint. But when you respond, let's say somebody is coming to you and you're looking at it through an objective viewpoint. They come to you and they say, you know what? I'm really bothered by the fact that you're not coming home from work until 10 o'clock at night. And you know there's nothing going on. You just miss the person. And it's happening every night. Let's just say a problem like that. But then you start to think, well, maybe, you know, he doesn't want to spend time with me anymore. Maybe something has changed. Maybe he's drowning in his work. What's going on? So now you're worried about this. So then you start thinking to yourself that, oh, you know what? I might be in this too much, and now I need to lash out to get some attention because now there's a big project at work. I'm not seeing him. I need to know he's there. I need to know he cares, and I will if he pays attention to my issue. So now you either come up with something and you try to force the issue to make him come home. This actually happened to someone. And it's really interesting. He really just had to work. It wasn't an extended period of time, but he failed to communicate that. He just kept saying, oh, I have to stay at work late again, as though it's a surprise every day. So she started feeling left out of the equation. And she wanted to know what was going on because now this was a big change into their routine. They haven't talked it out. She didn't know all the details. She needed to feel a little control, and now she's responding. She didn't have objective viewpoint because now she's scared, and now all of that fear is clouding her viewpoint. So then when they finally talked it out, and as they're talking, all I hear is, well, I wish you told me that 2 weeks ago. Well, I wish I knew that. So when it's objective and you go to the person and say, hey, you know what? We're going to have a project. It's going to take some time. I know that's going to break into our routine, but we'll be back to it when I'm done. If you just say that in the beginning, instead of worrying about the fact that she may be upset, which she was, that he wasn't going to be home at night for about 2 to 3 weeks, he figured he'd just take it one day at a time because he had fear that she would not understand. Or that the anticipation of not seeing him at night for all those nights in a row was going to bother her. So he figured he'd break it down and take it one day at a time. It's really interesting to see the difference of when you do have those expectations or you don't. So now he's coming now, as we spoke, in from an objective viewpoint and saying, you know what? This has nothing to do with me. I have work. I'm going to finish it. It's we can just write it out for another 2-3 weeks and we'll be fine. And when you say that, the other person just says, oh, well, he's just going to be busy for the next 2-3 weeks. Maybe I will find a project I've been wanting to do and I can do it. But never fear what you have to say and then hope the other person doesn't get what's going on because their response isn't going to be very good. They're going to start feeling like you knew something they didn't know. But you would tell anyone that. If it weren't your partner, you would tell your kids, hey, you know what, I'm going to be busy for the next 2 weeks. Or if your mom or dad, you talk to them all the time and you say, you know what, I'm going to be busy for the next 2 or 3 weeks. If you don't hear from me, I'm okay. Just wanted you to know. Speaking from the front end, instead of waiting for things to not be okay, you're responding to the fact that the two of you have a respect for each other. And you won't hurt each other if you both can't deliver what the other one wants. 1 second, sorry. I managed to make it through with this cold, and it seems like it's when it's going away, I'm getting a little bit more. But just paying attention to speaking the truth. I had another couple come to me, and they realized they were in love, and it scared the heck out of them, out of both of them. And so what did they do? They fought. But they fought so passionately. They would throw things and they did this and they did that. And they were both like huge in the entertainment industry. And I was like listening and I'm like, wow. I was totally entertained. They were in the right profession. I was perfectly entertained. To the point where we all got such a great laugh about that. And I'm like, drama, drama, drama. You guys are driven by drama. You are in the right place. But they didn't want that kind of drama in the relationship. But then I realized the dynamics of their profession was also working against them. How was it working against them? Stories. beginning, middle, and end. Everything had an end that they told. And they realized they had very deep feelings for each other. And they didn't want there to be an end. So the drama part of relationships is where they lived because there's never an end yet. And I thought, darn it all. Give it to a writer to not be able to separate themselves, the reality that they're in, that they think in. And it was so beautiful to see the light turn on and to be able to say, you know what? I'm just scared we weren't going to be able to make it. I almost wanted to push you away to prove that I didn't even deserve to be with anyone or know how. Those light, tender words, truth of how you feel without you trying to make it sound any certain way, is objective. This is how I feel. No matter what the outcome is, this is how I feel. I love you. I care about you. I want to be with you. And I was afraid that I didn't know how to be with anybody. And maybe in time, maybe by us responding to each other's needs instead of just crying out for attention in our own ways, we can do this. Sometimes just having somebody see you from the outside in is all you need because it's subjective. Now, if somebody comes to you and says, well, you do this and you do that, what happens to you? You just shut down. You don't want to hear another thing because now you're going to be in defense mode. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. And you probably did. But you don't want somebody telling you like that, so now you're going to fight them back. I've noticed that you're drawn to doing it this way. You might want to just, you know, think about the fact that you don't have to stretch yourself that much. And if you need help with it, I would be more than happy to help you. Whatever it is. Then the person feels like, wow, I have a safety net. Whatever it is I'm going through, now I can see objective, spend my time fighting it or for it, whether I want to or not. Now I'm just there. Wow, this feels weird. It's like all this empty space in the air, no tension in the air around me. Because I have support instead of an argument. Because I have support instead of fear. Even if it's just me supporting myself from living with the fear. Objective love, objective truth. Living in our innocence joins us together by responding to each other's needs. Because that's saying in a big way, I'm paying attention. I want to be here. I enjoy being here. Let's let our souls enjoy life together. That's the bottom line. Hard way to live because everything we've been taught is all drama. You guys, I'm running out of time. I will see you tomorrow for Dream Theme Thursday. I love you guys so very much. Have a good Wednesday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.